Okay, everyone, welcome. Welcome.
Hey.
Hello, Rochelle.
I
Glad
am
that you're
excited.
here.
Yeah,
Yeah,
me
me
too.
too. Me too. And to all of you who are listening, welcome to the continuation of the Wise Well Women's Expert Teleseries. I am Nanette Saylor. I'm the founder of Wise Well Women, and I'm excited to continue presenting this series I'd like to think of as conversations with my inner circle, and certainly Rochelle Schwartz is part of that group. This series is all about interviewing just amazing women. They are all women that I know. They're women that I love and I respect for their incredible gifts and, most importantly, for their willingness to share them with me and now with all of you. Each of the women who's been a part of this series has been a part in helping me grow personally, and this year they're really a part of encouraging me and pushing me to step up. The Wise Well Women Expert Series really started as just a blur, just kind of a blurry vision, and it was almost, I think, a year and a half ago when I first had the thought. And it took me a little while to get it all together, but one day, in fact, my first guest pushed me to start and said, let's do it, and off we went. Most of you who know my story know that I spent nearly 30 years working in a really tough industry, and somehow I had been taught along the way that the only way to be successful and the only way to feel successful was if I did it all by myself. And that turned out not to be a recipe for success. In fact, it turned out to be a disaster. I was lonely, I was unhappy, and I had just a mess of a life. Eventually, that all caught up with me, and I had to, at one point, figure out that things had to be different. And fortunately, the universe nudged me a little bit. I got desperate enough, and I mustered up a fair amount of courage from somewhere, and I started reaching out. And almost overnight, my life started to change. Today, I can honestly say that I live a life I love, and it's because I figured out I didn't have to do it alone. My special guest today is Rochelle Schwartz. Her soothing manner has always, always made me feel safe from the day I met her. 3 years ago, I began personally working the spiritual divorce program that Rochelle's going to tell you about. She gently guided me through recognizing that I was carrying around a whole bunch of unresolved pain surrounding the breakup of my long marriage, and that the hole in my heart, as I refer to it now, was affecting all of my relationships, and most importantly, the one with myself. I can honestly say that of all the personal development work I've done over the years, the spiritual divorce process was really the most powerful I've experienced to date. It really, really got at some of my core stuff. So I have two intentions for the call today. I hope first that if you're one of those women who's out there thinking that asking for help is a sign of weakness, or that you got to do it alone, trust me, believe me, time is now to reach out and start looking for support around you, because I know there are incredible women out there who are just waiting and willing to help. Second, Rochelle has so much to give and such a warm, caring heart. She's here to share with you, and I hope that you'll give yourself the gift of coming completely to this call and allow her to share her heart with you, whether you're on the call live or whether you're listening to the recording later on. So without further delay, I am honored to introduce you to my friend and colleague, Rochelle Schwartz. Welcome, Rochelle.
Thank you, Nanette. Thank you so much. I am so excited to be here with you.
Oh, it's just great. Glad we're able to fit this into our busy schedules, both of us.
Yeah.
Are you ready to get started?
I sure am.
Okay, good, good, good. Well, let me get the formalities out of the way and fill you in on a little of Rochelle's background. Rochelle is officially a certified master integrative coach with the Ford Institute, and she has a specialization in spiritual divorce. She's worked as a life coach for many, many years, and she is privileged to be a part of Debbie Ford's core coaching professional group. In her history, Rochelle has been honored to be a guest on the Oprah Winfrey Show, and there she discussed the topic of keeping your word and personal integrity, something I know is very, very important to her. Currently, Rochelle is assisting with the promotion of Debbie Ford's new project, The Shadow Effect, which I'm sure some of you have heard about, and she's reaching out to introduce it in the local community. So, Rochelle, tell us, how is it that you came to this work, and why are you still passionate about it after all of this time?
Well, before we do that, can I do a quick guided meditation?
Oh, certainly. I would love if you'd do that with us. Just to
can we? That would be great.
And get us, oh, yeah. Yeah, thank you.
Goody. Thank you. So everybody, just gently take a deep breath. Close your eyes. And just notice as you're breathing gently if there's any stress, any tension, any resistance in your body, just gently take a deep breath and let go. Really feeling more relaxed, more centered and grounded. And as you're continuing to breathe, using your breath, just gently floating down into your heart. Really feeling your heart opening and expanding into every cell of your body. And as your heart is opening bigger and bigger, really feeling connected to yourself and everybody that's either on the call, people that'll be calling in, listening to this recorded message from Nanette, just take a deep breath. Really feeling connected, feeling everybody's heart connected and opening, feeling grounded again, sending everybody love. And then with another breath, just see what floats up in your awareness that you want to set an intention that you would like to walk away with from our call this evening. And then whenever you're ready, gently come back to wherever you're sitting and gently opening your eyes. And knowing that that intention is exactly what you're going to walk away with this evening. And just let me know when you're back.
Ah, feels good.
Thank you. Thank you for letting me share that.
Oh, I'm so glad you did. I have often shared that one of the things that I love about you is that of all of the visualizations that I've done, all of the things that I've been to, there's always something incredibly powerful about the ones that you lead me through. So thank you for sharing that gift with all of us. Really appreciate it.
Great.
So tell us now, how is it that you came to this work?
Well, very, very briefly, I had done a lot of work. I started at the age of 30, really questioning myself as to who I am because I had no clue. And I did a lot of work in LifeSpring and EST and the forum and biofeedback and therapy and group therapy and breath work and CDs, books, everything. And then in 1995, there was still something I felt missing, and I had attended Debbie Ford's first shadow process, And there is where I just knew that was it, because I got that all our answers lie within each and every one of us, and that nobody has our answers but ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And that hooked me, and I've been doing this work ever since.
Wow. Yeah, it really, I know for me, when I learned to stop really reaching outside of myself is when a lot started to change for me.
Because
so you've been
not
doing this
there.
A long it's, mm-hmm. You've been doing this a long time, and how do you keep so passionate about it? What is it that drives you to keep doing it?
Because I believe that, you know, we are all, and I always explain this, the reason I keep on doing it, because there's always the next level of evolution for myself. And as I grow, I hold my clients in a very high vibration as well. And it's really people that we can't see ourselves, but everybody is our mirror. And it's truly incredible to see that, you know, when you're upset with somebody or, you know, somebody really pisses you off, it's really what they're mirroring back to you is things that you have within yourself that are unhealed. And these are your wounds, and they are your greatest, greatest gifts. So it provides you with all these tools that are worth millions of dollars. You can have these tools for the rest of your life. And that's the passion, as I keep on growing and seeing what an incredible person I am and what I've become. And even from my clients and seeing their growth, it's a passion.
Yeah, you can hear that in your voice. I can hear it in your voice. It's really, really something. And I know it shows through because I've been a client, so I've had that and felt it personally. So I hope everybody on the call is getting that sense, too. So let me ask you a little bit of some of the technical questions. You know, I introduced you as a certified master integrative coach. And I know every time I try to say that word, I have trouble with it. Well,
I know.
Can you share with us a little bit about what does that mean? What is integrative coaching?
Well, first of all, integrative coaching is, since we are all one being, really, we have the dark parts of us, the light parts of us, and then it's integrating both into each other as one being. So to get to the light, we need to really go through the dark to see what those things are, whatever those core beliefs are. When we can really extract the wisdom and the gifts and then do an action to really see what we need to do to integrate it, that's the whole thing. That's really the whole thing. And it's extraordinary. And in the work for so many years, what I've really noticed, as well with myself as with all my other clients, is that most people are really comfortable in the uncomfortability of the dark. And when it comes to the light, they have the hardest time to really receive their greatness. And so, you know, to me, it's just like, it's just such an incredible process to see people as they really merge into one being and then collectively.
Isn't that interesting? Can you give us an example of what would be going from that dark that we're so comfortable mm-hmm. with to the corresponding light?
Sure. I'll give myself the example. It's, you know, about myself that I had so many beliefs about myself, and it was that I felt stupid and I had learning disabilities, so that's where that was birthed from, and I was verbally abused, sexually abused, so I had all of that mixture. And when I really, first of all, got to see that because of all the verbal abuse I had received throughout my life, I saw that I became my own abuser. When I went to heal that, what really surfaced was what a powerful woman I am, and gave myself the love. I was looking for love outside myself. And in turn, I had to really look and say, you know what, Rochelle? You have to start loving you. Don't wait for anybody else. Start giving it to you. And that was really a big, big thing for me to start to learn, because I did not know how to do that. And I had to start to really take baby steps as to how can I love myself? What can I do? And it was in that healing process of different layers, because it was such a deep wound, and it was just kept on coming, where I had to take care of myself and I had to start nurturing myself. And it was journaling and meditating and praying and writing about how grateful I am and having a gratitude list. Whatever I needed, I gave myself. Does that answer it?
Yes. Oh, sure. Yeah. And that started to open up your thinking about yourself in a different way then.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah. It really spoke to me when you said, you know, you reminded us that we're so comfortable usually in all mm-hmm. of that negative self-talk.
Yep.
You know, for many of us come from that place where that's what we learned, and whether we learned it because somebody said it to us or somehow it just bubbled up in our not being accepting of our own strengths, who, you know, it almost doesn't matter where it came from. It just that we have that voice in our heads that says, you know, you can't do it. You're not good enough. You're stupid. You're this. You're that. And it is funny. I know that the groups that I've been a part of, there have been many times when a leader has said, you know, okay, let's talk about strengths. Let's talk mm-hmm. about what's beautiful about you. And half the room can't come up with anything.
Yeah. So, yeah, it is. It's true. It is.
So thank goodness we have people like you out there to help us to gently say it's okay if you can't do it the first time. Let's keep working at it.
Yeah.
I guess as you said too, you know, that's the thing that you just you're continuing to work at it, and you see the growth for yourself, you see the growth for your clients, and it's a really powerful thing because, yeah, at the end of the day, it really is. It's about love, you know.
Yeah.
Love for yourself.
And so. I so believe that there is not one person in this whole world that does not want to be loved. And for us to receive it, we have to learn to give it to ourselves.
Yeah.
And because if somebody out there, you know, shows us love, that's great. But when they walk away, what are you left with if you haven't started working internally on that part of you? There's that emptiness again, looking for love in all the wrong places.
Yeah. So let's take that thought.
Sure, let's go
in all the wrong places. And then we end up with some interesting definitions of a mate. And then we end up where many of us end up, with a divorce. And so your work has taken you from the early shadow work that you did with Debbie to now the specialization in spiritual divorce.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us a little bit about spiritual divorce.
I would love to. I love it. It's such a passion, and it really, you know, one thing I always want to let people know, it's not the only thing about getting divorced from a husband. Sometimes it can work where it gets you together, but it's also a spiritual divorce. It could be with a parent, It could be with a sibling, a child, a grandparent, a coworker. It could be anything that you want to have a healing with. And it works, it's powerful work, and basically it takes you through different laws. And you go through really a centering, and then you go through a distinction, and then you go through an internal process. Everybody gets a workbook, and it really starts off with writing about your relationships and the person who you really want to bring into this coaching with. And it's not physical, but it's a person who you want to have a healing with. And it's really going through surrender, going through the law of surrender. And, you know, if we can't go to surrender and then there's acceptance, it works. And a lot of times if people cannot, then we have to do the session over. And it has happened. So it doesn't mean, it's like people sometimes are really holding on to not letting go.
Yeah. I can share with the people listening that definitely there were parts in the process for me where I was hanging on in a big way. Mm-hmm. And I, Rochelle, I started this work mm-hmm. after I'd been separated from my ex-husband for almost 10 years.
You were divorced, separated, right?
Well, yes. Yeah, I was actually divorced at that time. But
okay.
We had been physically separated for many
mm-hmm.
years.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so it wasn't as if I had just moved out and gotten a divorce within that year. I thought I had long ago put this stuff behind me.
Mm.
Certainly I learned that really I had only superficially dealt with the pain and that emptiness that was a part of that.
Mm.
I can attest to the fact that it's possible to be going through the process and just really not want to take the next step.
Yeah, and you know, people really come in thinking, "Oh, I'm over that." And boy, when they get to this, they get to see they're not really
mm-hmm.
over it. There's a healing that needs to be taken place so that you yourself can. This work is all about healing your heart. And again, it's about the surrender, it's about acceptance, it's about looking at your story and dissecting it, looking at what's right about it, what's wrong about it. And it also takes you into the law of divine guidance, and it takes you into taking responsibility for yourself, then taking responsibility for others, and then it's about really forgiveness of self and forgiveness of others, and then you go into creation.
Mm.
But it's really an incredibly beautiful healing process, and you get to see why you're with the person that you brought in. It's just so clear. And you know what's so interesting? You know, a lot of people come and go, oh, I want to do it with this one, and I have this one. But really pick out the one that's the most prominent, the one that really, really, really triggers you and pisses you off the most, that you've been carrying on your shoulders. And 9 times out of 10, when you do work with that person and yourself, it's a ripple effect into all other areas.
Hmm. Yeah, I think that's a really great point to make. And while I was listening to you, I was thinking to myself, now, she's not talking about actually having that other person with me there,
no.
is she?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, this isn't a couple's therapy session.
No, not at all. Oh, my God, no.
It is a process of having an internal dialogue.
Yeah.
Am I describing it correctly?
Correct. Yes, you
with
are.
With that other person.
Correct.
I know for me, one of the most powerful things I did in the process was to write a thank you letter
mm-hmm.
to my ex-husband.
Mm-hmm.
And to recognize and to honor the things that had been really special about that relationship. And certainly after many years of not being particularly happy or fulfilled, it wasn't easy to come back to remembering those things. But it was very valuable for me to do that, and not just because it was nice to feel good about that relationship again, but because it helped heal that pain, I think, is really the bigger picture, was that I was able to move forward. I think it was part of that creation phase where, the whole purpose is so that you're not carrying this stuff around all the time into all those next relationships.
And that's the truth. That's the truth. That's why we have so many divorces. Because people think they go from one person to the next person to the next person. They look different, smell different, dress different, and bingo. There they show up again with the same issue that you had with your previous relationship.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what's so powerful, because it then comes back to, wait a minute, something's off here. If I keep on co-creating, what is it that I have to learn about myself? Why am I co-creating this?
Yes.
And that's where all the work begins.
Yeah, and that's and again, my experience was that's really, really powerful stuff. And it impacts all of the other pieces of my life. It impacts all of my other relationships with my parents, with my siblings, with my daughter.
Yeah.
All of that. And very, very, very powerful. So what do you think is, if you were to pick the one thing that's most difficult for people to deal with post-divorce, what's that thing that they keep carrying with them, that biggest hang-up?
Well, first of all, they always blame the other person. They don't look at themselves. It's his fault, her fault, what she's done to, they just keep on, again, it's such a, they keep on pointing their finger at somebody else.
Yeah.
And, again, that same thing, where do the three fingers point back at? I mean, it's such an easy tool to use. The thing that people don't want to do is to really take responsibility. They would rather project it out there. It's their fault. They did it to me.
Mm-hmm.
And then you create a righteous position. I'm right, you're wrong. Well, where is that getting you?
Right.
So you're right, so now what? So you're still carrying around all that anger.
Yeah, and that, and when you try to go out to another relationship, you've carried that same anger with you.
Oh, yes, you do.
Even though you think you've somehow put it aside.
Yeah, definitely, absolutely. So it's really taking back your projections. It's like, what it reminds, I remember this, it's such a visual for me since I'm so visual, is to like, you see where the, if you see a plug, you're plugging in something, a wire, a plug into the wall. Well, what if you see that you're plugging into that person, and if you could take that plug from that person that you're just so pissed off about that you don't want to take back responsibility, but once you see that you can unplug from that person and put that plug right back into you, or you can look at it like a switchboard. Oh, am I dating myself? The switchboards, those operators.
Yeah,
oh
I get that visual too. Believe it or not, I actually worked on one of those switchboards.
I did too.
I
did too. My first job.
Yeah. Wow.
And that's that's something it's a great visual to really stop and to take a breath and see, wow, what's happening here? It's becoming conscious, Nanette. That's really the whole thing, is to become conscious.
Yeah.
Instead of walking around like you're in ether.
Interesting. Let's talk just for a minute about that mirror and projection idea. You've mentioned it a couple of times, and I think it's in my experience that the terms come up a lot in self-development, personal mm-hmm. development worlds, but I think it is such a strong piece of of Debbie Ford's work and this particular process that you're so passionate about. Can you just touch on that a little bit?
Yeah. You know, being in a marriage for so many years and being separated and then going back and then being separated and divorced. And if I were to look at my ex-husband and all that he showed me all, in other words, I was 17 when I met him, so I had no self-esteem, and got married at 20. So, you know, looking at that relationship, it was, if I see it today, there was so much anger around him. And what I got to see, I couldn't express my anger. I was such a good girl because I was so good that I wanted to be loved, so I didn't want to upset the apple cart. And so what he really showed me is that I had such repressed anger, and that he was the only one that I was able to vocalize back to him, because most of my life I didn't think I had a voice.
Mm-hmm.
So he showed me really how much internal anger I was carrying. And of course, what I received was the anger that I was angry at myself. And I was angry at myself because it kept on showing up all the time. And all his anger and his putting me down and his verbal abuse, I then took it on and I became my own abuser. And I was so angry at myself. But when I really got that and I saw that anger in me, I did a lot of anger release work. I mean, whatever I had to do, I was so committed to doing, to getting, to receiving, because I didn't want to hold on to that anger anymore.
And that's that mirror mm-hmm. concept that you were seeing in him that mm-hmm. that was so critical to your own healing.
Oh, God, yeah. Oh, my God, absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah. And I
know how hard it is to you know, you and I can talk about it, and we can mm-hmm. describe it to individuals who are listening.
Mm-hmm.
But I know without having you to guide me through that process,
mm-hmm.
I'd still be intellectualizing my awareness of it. Does that make sense?
If somebody can tell me, I
understand what you mean by a mirror, but until I was actually brought through the process,
mm-hmm.
I didn't feel it. I didn't really connect to how powerful it was.
Yeah, and it's also, you know, when... Go ahead, I'm sorry.
That's okay. Go ahead.
It's understanding that, you know, when you understand, it's like they always say, if you understand, it's like the booby prize. It's really going from your head, from the intellect part of you, and really breathing it down into the heart, because that's where all our information lies, is internally.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not from the head. And when someone always says, oh, I know, let me...
You know they don't know.
You know one thing, you don't know anything. And I will say that with all this work I've done, I don't know. I really let it go because we, you know, again, the saying, we plan, God laughs. Now, that doesn't say not doing anything. You need to do things, but you need to let it go, because 9 times out of 10 it's going to be grander and greater than you ever thought it could be.
Yes. Yeah, and that's the power of the faith piece of that work.
Yeah.
A very, very powerful piece. And I'm sure we could talk for a whole other hour on that.
Okay. Okay, so I'm ready. Let's do it.
When we're done tonight, we'll schedule another one.
Cool.
Continue the conversation.
I can't wait. I can't. Yeah, I love this. I love it. And
yeah.
I love people to really feel their fulfillment and honor themselves and respect themselves. And that's another thing, self-respect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's another piece. That's another piece that comes in that mirror process
mm-hmm.
so often. Wow. Yeah. So if you were to zero in on the one thing that you've learned over the years that you would say is the most profound, the thing that this work has taught you, what do you think that would be?
I'll tell you. Nobody's coming to save me.
Ah, now that's
and
a good one.
That was huge. Huge, 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 because I always wanted to be taken care of. And obviously I was to some degree, but it was so, so messed up. And I had to learn that no one's coming to save me, and I better start taking responsibility for myself and my decisions. That was, and it still is. I mean, it is a process over the years.
Yeah,
but I really want you to know I happen to be I really like being taken care of, by the way. I really do. I really, really do. But I have to take care of myself first. And when I can stand for myself and have my voice and say, you know, no, I want to do that. Yes, I'll do this. I'm taking responsibility. I can't point it at anybody else but me. Mm. And I had to grow up.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny when that happens to us when we've got a few more years.
Yeah, isn't it?
We're not 12 anymore. So.
No, we're not, but I was acting like it.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, I know I do the same. There are days I just think, oh, boy, you were a spoiled little brat today.
Yeah. I mean, I
big
wanted to be,
in there.
It certainly is, it really is, and I mean, I was like, I wanted to be, you know, people would say, you're not a princess, and I go, in my dreams, I'm a princess, but I mean, I was living in this illusion, because I thought it was safe, but boy, was I really learned that one really big.
Mm, wow. Yeah, I guess there's a long list of the life lessons that your clients have learned with you, I'm sure.
Oh, God, yes.
But they probably, you know, my guess is that they fall into some basic themes.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's interesting you saying that. Tell me a little bit more what you mean, because I think I know, but just let me know.
Well, if I think about myself,
okay.
I carried around a lot of judgment
mm-hmm.
for a long time, and so that for me is a theme.
Mm-hmm.
The I'm not good enough
mm-hmm.
is a theme.
Mm-hmm.
The you know, in your case, you talked about you wanted to be taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, mm-hmm. is a theme. And I would imagine that there are some that come up more often than others.
Mm-hmm.
And some that are the easy way out for some people. And I'm not sure I'm explaining myself very well, but certainly it's easy for me to say, well, you know, I've always been the kind of person who took responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
But when I take time and really look at that, I discover that maybe that's not so true.
That's good.
Yeah, you know, and that I was really kind of hiding behind that. And I think that
mm-hmm.
brings us back to your mirror concept, you
mm-hmm.
know, that that's an example of why the people that keep showing up in front of us are showing up with whatever those themes are, because we've not really addressed them. We thought we did, but we didn't.
Yeah. And that's perfect. That's who your clients, you will attract the perfect client for you. It's either something that you've seen you've already worked through, or you're working through it, and they're coming to you. It's such incredible thing. I mean, it's sometimes, you know, because I'm so trained in my ear to really hold the space for my clients, and it's really a very sacred space and a very heartfelt space. And when I hear some of these things, I could really start to laugh at myself, because that's exactly what I'm experiencing. It's notorious. It really is. Okay. And, you know, and it's a lot of the same, you know, they're not good enough. They're core shadow beliefs that run our lives. And it's either we're not good enough, we're unworthy, we're undeserving, we're unlovable. You know, there's so many of those things that really start to run our lives. And that's
time to retrain, right? And that's how we have wonderful people like you in the world to help us with that. But left to our own devices, I know in my case, left to my own devices, I'd be having that negative conversation with myself all day long. Even after years of doing personal development work, I still need that support to help me, you know, to remind me that that's not the language I want to be speaking to myself anymore.
Exactly. And it's true. You're so, so right, Nanette. You really are.
You touched on something that I think is really important to bring out about this work, because we've talked about things that are really, really personal and quite frankly can be very scary for people to start to try to focus on and to clear and to heal, and to do that with somebody that you don't have a trusting relationship with. Let's talk a little bit about how in when you are introduced to someone in a new potential coaching relationship, how is it that you create that sacred space? How is it that you communicate that safety, that place of trust?
Well, it's interesting you say that. I think it's so innate with me that how I can, I've always been judged. All my life I was judged. So when I learned about all of that, I don't put judgment on anybody. I really don't. And I think that's one of the things that people feel very safe. They open up, because I've had that since I was, a young adult in my 20s. And people would always come to me with their problems. Of course, I didn't realize, you know, that's one of the things. I provided a lot of safety where they would tell me anything and everything, and then they would turn around and say, oh, I can't believe I don't even know you, and I told you my whole life.
Yeah.
And it's my heart. It's my compassion. It's that I'm not sitting in judgment of them, because, my God, I've been there, done that. And it's their process. It's not about me. It's about them.
Oh, that's so perfectly said. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that, because I know I feel it, but I'm not, I certainly know I wouldn't have been able to articulate it quite as well. So, and I think it's really, really important for people to recognize that it is a unique gift that you have, but it's also one of the things that those of us who choose to work in a coaching capacity feel very strongly about, protecting that and holding that sacred place for the people that we work with. So thanks for sharing that with everybody, because it's important. You know, a lot of people who don't know wonder, you know, how am I going to tell this person these things, you know, and what, you know, how do I know that it's not going to come back to haunt me at some point in the future.
Right, exactly, exactly. And I also do a sample session with people so they can experience it as well. So that gives them a flavoring as to what this is all about.
Yeah, and I think particularly with the work that you do, that connecting in that way is so important because it mm-hmm. really allows you to get deeper than you might in other programs. And
mm-hmm.
and that's what makes this so powerful, is that you do work through that process on a very deep level.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We do.
So let's talk about one more piece of the equation. I see we're starting to get toward the end of our hour, and I know that this has been a big part of life changes for you in recent years,
mm-hmm.
and that is that you often talk about essentially a lifelong struggle with weight issues and body image and
mm-hmm.
all of those things. And I know that you have recently, in the last couple of years, really gotten your arms around that and been able to feel really great about living with a healthy weight and healthy body image. Can you share with everybody who's listening how that piece started to fall into place, and why you think it took this amount of time? What is it that triggered the aha for that piece to finally become an integral part of your healthy living?
Well, I think, you know, it has been a long, I mean, it's been a journey since I'm 13. So I do believe it's a lot about your self-esteem. I really do. And, I started with the 12-step program in Overeaters Anonymous, and that's where I connected to a higher power. And then it gradually went into different programs. I lost it, gained it, lost it, like most people who have eating disorders, or however you want to put a name to it. But I got to really experience my body. And more than anything, I wanted it for health reasons. That was the first and foremost. And I had been really heavy at my daughter's wedding, and I was like 180 pounds, and I must be probably 5'2", 5'2 and a half. And it was like, it was just so uncomfortable for me, and I had a very hard time attaching my head and my body together. It was a really, really challenging time for me. And I love the feeling of when you're thin. It feels so great, but I could never see myself as thin when I was thin. I always saw myself as heavy. And that's a challenge for most people who have weight issues. And I really got to the feeling of what it felt like that, you know, there's that saying, it's not what you're eating, it's what's eating you.
Mm.
And that's where I really started to, and it definitely is a process. It's definitely could be challenging that before you grab for something, it's like, okay, what am I experiencing now? And you know what, Nanette, most of the time is I wanted the love. I really wanted love. And food is quick, instant, but then when you're left, you feel guilty, horrible. So that's not love.
Mm.
So I really had to start to respect my body and really connect and see, you know, what is it that's eating me? And I really did a lot of journaling around that, and I still work on it. It's not something that goes away for the rest of your life. I believe I work at it sometimes on a daily basis, sometimes minute by minute, sometimes, you know, I do, you know, I could see that my hand just keeps on going back and forth, like I would love this. This looks, and I realize, like, wait a minute, is that really what I want? And I really breathe, and I take those moments to see, well, is it really what I want? I'll walk away. Now, I must tell you, I'm not a saint, so I just want you to know that. Because I do go off at times, I really do. I mean, I'm human. But I really notice a lot of, for me, is a lot of the emotions.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and I think I've heard you say before that, you know, this love yourself, when finally that message really hits home, then the need to fuel that love with other things sort of falls away.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think that's for a lot of our vices, you know. That really is a core theme, you know. And that the work that you do at the end of the day, that's what it's about. It's about, we all just want to be loved, and when we finally figure out that we have to love ourselves first, that we can love, we are lovable, and we can love ourselves first, everything else starts to make sense.
Yeah, and it's also accepting your body. You know, looking, you know, I remember going and looking in the mirror, but it really gets to a point where, you know, this is my temple. I want to respect it. So do I have cellulite? Of course I have cellulite. Like Sandra Bullock said, of course I have cellulite. And look at her. She's beautiful and she's thin.
Yeah.
You know, it's really an acceptance. Do I have heavy arms? You bet I do. But I won't not wear a sleeveless top because of it. It doesn't have an effect on me anymore. I really have accepted my body, and I love the way I feel, and I love the way I feel in clothing. And that's why I became Elektra for Weight Watchers.
Right, yeah. It's such a great connection.
Love it.
So that leads us into, it looks like, our conclusion, which is, tell us a little bit about how we can continue to connect with you. What do you have going on that's coming up? You just touched on, you lecture for Weight Watchers. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, basically, I'm filling in for somebody who is away for the summer until, I think, September, October. And, you know, I go in every week, and I, you know, before I go in, I prepare for it, but I bring a lot of myself to it as well. And what I've noticed is that in a group setting, once you bring out a question, it's amazing how everybody starts to respond to it, because it's like anything else. It's a community of people that have the same issue as you do. I am no better. Just because I'm standing up there, that means like I've attained my goal, and I'm, you know, I've kept off 35 pounds of a lot of weight that I had originally lost, but I'm just like everybody else. And it's interesting how people share their stories, because people want to hear, people want to relate, and that's a very sacred, safe place for people. The meetings truly are the things that keep people really, there's so many lifetime people, because Weight Watchers has been around for 43 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very healthy eating program. It really is.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I just love
good
it.
For you.
Thank
and
you.
So that's here locally for those who are not in the South Florida region. You won't have the benefit of being able to go see Rochelle at a Weight Watchers meeting, but those who are in the area. And for anything that Rochelle's doing, anyone would like to reach out and connect to Rochelle, let me give you her email address. Hopefully you have a pen or a pencil close by. The best way to reach Rochelle is at Coach Rochelle, Rochelle, at Comcast.net. And Coach Rochelle is one word, no dashes, no dots, no hyphens. Coach Rochelle at Comcast.net. That's her direct email. You'll get straight to her. And so if you have any questions about anything we've talked about, you want to connect with her about Weight Watchers, you want to connect with her about spiritual divorce, you want to connect with her about any of the other coaching programs that she has, please, please reach out and do that. And I know that Rochelle has two upcoming workshops. One is a local workshop and one is a teleclass. So for those of you who aren't local, you can definitely tap into the teleclass. The workshop is going to be June 24th here in Parkland between 6 and 9 p.m. It's a part of our last guest program, Business Building Blocks. Lisa Medlin is having Rochelle as a guest there, and she's going to talk there about what's stopping you from moving forward in your business. The same way that we've talked a little bit today about how the baggage that you carry around with you can stop you from moving forward in relationships, there are similar things that stop us as entrepreneurs from moving forward in our businesses, too. So there's a lot of great correlation there. And then the next event, the teleclass, is going to be July 15th, so mark your calendars for that one. And, Rochelle, you want to tell us a little bit about what that topic's all about?
Yeah, it's from 8 to 9, and I'll get the number and everything so people can really email me, and I would certainly get back to them. And it's, again, talking about relationships and talking about, you know, having the same people keep on showing up in our lives, showing us something that we really need to see. It's like the man in your life, if you're divorced or whatever it is. It's really looking at that and seeing that it's the same person. It's like they smell different, dress different, and yet they have the same quality that keeps you so stuck. So it's, and it'll be a lot of fun because it'll be a lot of fun. It's like the same guy, different day. And so that teleclass will be from 8 to 9, and I will let them know. And they can also, I would love for them to come to my website and just browse around and find out a little bit more about me.
Absolutely. I was definitely going to suggest that because you also, Rochelle does a great newsletter, and you offer, is it a meditation or a...
Yes.
It's a meditation when people register to receive your newsletter, correct?
Yes, it is.
Good. And that website is RochelleSchwartz.com. So it's RochelleSchwartz.com. And she's got some beautiful things, information there, lots of discussion about her work, and a lot of clarity around the programs that she offers. And so I encourage any of you listening to please reach out if you're curious at all about what Rochelle does. And definitely take advantage of her offer to provide you with a 30-minute session so you can get a taste of what this work is all about. I can tell you for certain it will change your life, no question about it. I will forever be grateful for what it was able to do for me. So thank you, Rochelle. I'm so glad that you're a part of my inner circle.
Oh, I'm so happy too. Can I make mention about my CD that's going to come out?
Oh, yes, I was going to do that, and I'm glad you reminded me. Thank you. Go right ahead. Tell us all about that, because I'm excited to be able to start promoting it.
I am. I really am. And it's called When Losing Your Luggage is a Good Thing. And it's really, it was so great. And I did this teleclass. And, of course, I was so surprised, the people that responded afterwards saying a lot of these people didn't even do a lot of personal growth work and got so much from it. That's when I said, you know what, I'm going to do it on a CD. And so that's in the process right now. And I will be getting that, I'm praying, within the next week and a half.
Well, and as soon as that's available, we will let everybody who's registered for these calls know so that you'll be able to get first dibs, okay? That'll be one of the special bonuses of being a member of the Wise Well Women Inner Circle. So, well, thank you so much, Rochelle. I really, really appreciate that you've been here with us today. Let me just close by reminding everybody that you can reach out to me at wisewellwomen.com. Nanette at wisewellwomen.com is my direct email. Go to the website, follow the top navigation bar all the way to the right. It says contact. You can fill that out. Send me anything you'd like to talk about. I'm always interested in topics, other potential speakers or people to be a part of this series. And I am very excited to announce that very, very shortly I'll be launching my new 12 Baby Steps Foundation Formula e-course and coaching program. So watch for that. I've been dropping hints about it for a little while, but it really is coming, and I'm very, very excited about that one. And I also offer opportunities to connect with all of you through a complimentary session that's always available. I encourage you to do that as well. Don't forget to watch for announcements for the next call in the series. I've got a couple of more great guests through the summer. Going to keep this series going as long as I have wonderful women to share with you, and there's a long list of them, so we won't be ending anytime soon. And in fact, Rochelle's just agreed to come back again, so we'll definitely be doing that. Yeah. And when the recording comes, don't forget to save it, download it, so you can come back to it often. I know I keep a great library of all those things, and I just the other day listened to something that I've had for over 2 years. So it's always great to reconnect in that way. So with that, I will close with another huge, huge thank you to my guest, Rochelle, and to all of you for connecting with me here and supporting the group tonight. It goes almost unsaid that you are all amazing, wise, well women. I wish for you everything you dream and more. Good night, all.
Good night. Thank you, Nanette. Love you.
Love you, too. Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.